Now I want to think from the Word of God about what the situation is in the Middle East as it relates to the enemies of Israel. In our outline of the book of Ezekiel, chapters 25 to 32, these chapters are a message of retribution against the neighbors or the enemies of the Jewish people. We're not going to go to that particular passage. We're going to go to chapter 38 of the book of Ezekiel. But there is that information there available for you. And in addition to that, the prophet to the nations was Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, in the last 20 chapters of his book, deal with the nations as well. And individual books in the Word of God deal with particular nations that are involved in the end time scenario that is laid out in God's Word. We read much about the nations, what they're doing in that part of the world, and we need to have a better understanding of what is going on. We're also going to look, as we spend our time together, at the Islamic world, where they came from, who was the father of Islam. I'm talking about the original father of Islam. I'm not talking about the Muhammad, who happens to be the prophet of Islam. But how does it play into end time prophecy and what's going to happen to the Islamic peoples, the militant Islamic peoples as well, as we look together. So let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38. As you're going there, let me just simply remind you, rehearse for you, that I have two microphone stands and a pulpit. They represent the three main events in the future. Over there 6,000 years ago at the wall is when Jesus Christ created the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is. Come along 4,000 years, Jesus Christ comes, lives, died, buried, resurrects, goes to heaven. Come along for 2,000 years, approaching the next main event in God's calendar of activities, which is the rapture of the church. And then is going to be a seven-year period of time, the 7 years of tribulation, the 7 years of terrible trouble upon the face of the earth. This will be a time referred to by Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse 7, as the time of Jacob's trouble. It will be a terrible time of judgment. There are reasons for this tribulation. One of those reasons is to evangelize the Jew. There will be two witnesses that will preach during that first 3.5 years of the 7 years. Those two witnesses will be in their first activities will lead 144,000 male virgin Jews to Jesus Christ. And those male virgin Jews, talked about in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, will spread across the world. And every single person during this 7 year period of time on earth, every person is going to have an opportunity to hear the gospel of the kingdom and have an opportunity to receive or reject Jesus Christ. Now, that's talked about in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. Don't ever let, however, a missionary use that verse on you. That verse is not talking about today. Some missionaries come, and I love missionaries. I is one of them, so I love missionaries. But don't let a missionary say, we got to get the gospel out to the entire world before Jesus Christ comes back, so send me out to these peoples I'm going to. That is not correct. We must be going out. And I am so thrilled that they emphasize missions here. Our body of Christ in America needs to wake up. There's 4% of the population of this world found here in America. 96% of the world's population is outside of America. But 96% of the workers in Christianity work here in America, and only 4% work out among the 96% of the entire world's population. We need to be going. In a church that's not sending missionaries out as a dead church, I would get out of it and find a church where they have a worldwide vision to reach people for Jesus Christ. That is the heart of Jesus Christ. The only reason he has not come back, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. So I salute the missionaries. And I encourage you to do whatever you can to assist them in reaching people that need to have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Anyway, during this 7 year period of time, one of the purposes is to reach the entire world. Everybody will hear the gospel of the kingdom, every single person. 144,000 evangelists will spread across the world during the 7 year period of time. And then at the end of the 7 years, Jesus Christ will come back to the earth. This is the revelation depicted by this platform or this pulpit here. And then there is going to be a 1,000-year period of time, which is the kingdom, the millennial kingdom. We'll be talking more about that. Ezekiel 40 to 46 deals with that period of time. We'll be looking at that tomorrow evening as we come together. And then this last microphone stand represents the great white throne judgment, the retribution, when Jesus will be the judge, sentencing those who have rejected him in the lake of fire, which is the second death, and then eternity future, new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. In Ezekiel chapter 38, we now start to see with the Jewish people returning to the land. Remember, that was chapter 37, the bones coming together, the flesh coming on the bones. So the Jewish people being gathered from around the world, the restoration of a Jewish state, the only time in the history in the world of a period of, a people coming out from the known world and forming again the state that they once had. And they will come and they will establish this state. In fact, as we study, there will be two Jewish states before the time of the return of Jesus Christ. When we see that happening, though, this is going to irritate. God has promised to give the Jewish people 10 times the amount of real estate that they have today. He's promised to give them half of Egypt, all of Israel, all of Lebanon, all of Syria, all of Jordan, 3/4 of Iraq, all of Kuwait, 3/4 of Saudi Arabia. That's the land mass that God is going to give the Jewish people, and that is for an ever possession they will have. The word there forever in Hebrew is olam, O-L-A-M. That's the same word with the name of God, El Olam. Of course, the names of God talk about the character of God. El Olam is talking about the longevity of God. He is forever. He has no ending. He had no beginning. He has no ending. And when you take the word olam away from El Olam and put it with another bit of information, it's talking about the exact same thing. We're not going to see this land given to the Jewish people just to the end of the 1,000-year millennial kingdom. That land is going to be given to them forever. On the new earth, they're going to have that piece of real estate. In fact, the Jewish people will have the land on the earth, and that's where they will be headquartered during eternity future. We'll have a different location. We'll be in the New Jerusalem, which will not be, by the way, on the earth. Because of the fact that God has promised this land to the Jewish people, because they are coming into the land right now, and by the way, Ezekiel 37 says they come into the land in unbelief. Remember what I said? They're regathered in unbelief. They're restored in unbelief. That's exactly where they are today. Israel is not a religious state. I think I mentioned to somebody, 29% of the population of Israel may be religious. Now, they're not Christian, of course, but they are religious, involved in what is termed as rabbinical Judaism. Rabbinical Judaism is basically satanic because they denounce Jesus Christ. They say he was not the Son of God. When you look at the book of 1 John chapter 4, anybody who says that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God in the living flesh is an antichrist. So rabbinic Judaism, don't get involved in it. I have so many of my friends who want to get into these messianic churches. That is dangerous. Do not get involved in a messianic church. Don't come telling me my preacher wears a capon on the back of his head and a prayer shawl. If he's doing that, he's still under the law. That prayer shawl has 613 knots on it. It represents the 613 mitzvahs that a Jew has to keep, or rules in order for redemption to take place. That's under the law. And so there's no man who can teach grace and have a prayer shawl over his shoulder or over his head. Be very careful. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, there were two people that were at enmity with each other, the Gentile and the Jew. There was a wall of partition between them. With the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he took the wall out and he made two people one. That's Christians. And so don't get involved. If you get involved in a messianic church, you are involved in dividing the body of Christ. And that is not what God wants you to do. Now, if I say something that you disagree with it, don't you dare go tell Pastor Bill, or don't you tell Brother Bill, or don't you tell Robert, or don't you even tell your mate until after you tell me. Bible says you got ought against your brother. Go to him first. Don't talk about me and what I've said. I laid it out there because I wanted you to come. You know, I'm just antagonistic. I love to float little balloons up for you to try to attack. Obeying your Bible to me, because I think this is a very serious problem here in America. We have a lot of Gentiles, especially, who want to get involved in Judaism. Rabbinic Judaism is satanic. True Judaism is looking towards a Messiah. Rabbinic Judaism doesn't even believe in the Word of God. They believe in the commentators who looked at the Word and give their interpretation of what it says. So be very careful, dear friend. The Word of God is important. It's key. And I hope I didn't offend anybody. Well, yeah, I do. I'm glad. If you're involved in that, I want you to come and take me to the wall. I'd love to have, come on down. Maybe I ought to take Bob Barker's place. Come on down. You know, anyway, I'd love to talk to you. And I'm not trying to be unkind. Please, this is serious business. And that's why I'll make a statement like I do that seemingly is very dogmatic. Because the Word of God tells us how we're to come together. We're not to separate. We're to come together. And with these Jews coming into the land, God is going to allow, listen to me, under his sovereign rule. I said yesterday that Satan is the king of this world. He is the ruler of this world. But under God's sovereign will, he allows these things to happen. He's going to allow the enemies of God to come at them. One of the major trends that you can look at and recognize as an event that's unfolding that is going to give indication or evidence that we're very close to the second coming of Christ, not necessarily the rapture, although that would be the case in logical thinking. If we're close to the second coming and the rapture takes place before the second coming, would it not be smart to think, well, then if that's about to happen, this must happen 7 years earlier, so maybe it's about to happen pretty soon. You know, that's just logical thinking. So when I talk about these events that unfold after the rapture, that should give us the urgency of the moment for the rapture. And one of those trends is the alignment of the nations against Israel. Let me just show you. Keep your finger here for a moment. Let me show you one verse back over in Ezekiel chapter 5.